This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, and together with me, Ti Xiao Ik. So before the break, we talked about Undi Ketiga, which is an election simulation to educate the public on what it means to have local council elections.
Yep.
And now we're just crossing the border a little bit over to Fraser's Hill. It was back in August, international borders, I'm afraid, but it was back in August that we first got wind of the proposed development of the 181-room, 15-storey Fraser's Hill Resort and Spa. And this, of course, triggered concerns among NGOs, wildlife researchers, environmental consultants, lawyers, policymakers, ecotourism planners, and even lawmakers themselves. And one of the main concerns that stemmed from the fact that Fraser's Hill is prone to landslides, and the scale of this new project would trigger major soil movement in the area and affect the only lake on Fraser's Hill, which is Allen's Water. Now, these fears came to reality on November the 8th, when heavy downpours caused muddy water to come gushing down from the hillside and resulted in the flooding of Allen's Water. And in a report in the NST, Persatuan Alam Dan Warisan Bukit Fraser, or PAWBF chairman, Nick Jasmine Hugh, he was quoted as saying that the muddy water was from the spa and resort project site, which was located barely meters away.
But before we get into that, a quick refresher on the whole issue. Back in July this year, two buildings, the Colonial Bungalow Maybank Lodge and the July Resort, were completely demolished in Fraser's Hill, which was a shock to residents who had no idea this was going to happen. And many people were distressed to see these buildings go, as Maybank Lodge held historical and sentimental value to the area. That said, the building had never been gazetted as a heritage site under existing laws in the Heritage Act of 2005.
And at the time, PAWBF, which is a society that works to promote and preserve Fraser's Hill's nature and heritage, released a statement sharing their distress over the demolition of these buildings and also over the proposed new development. And among their concerns were the fact that the area is prone to landslides, as we said earlier, but also that Fraser's had never seen a development that was this tall, and that no impact study on the surrounding flora and fauna had been done before getting approval for the development.
And according to a previous survey conducted, the area boasts of 36 flora species endemic to Fraser's Hill, 12 of which are possibly extinct, not having been seen for more than 60 years. And on top of that, Fraser's Hill is home to as many as 52 mammal, 275 bird, 27 reptile and 26 amphibian species. And this relatively undisturbed jungle and its cool climate also attract over 250 species of migratory and residential birds. So the hill is internationally recognized as a magnificent bird sanctuary. And for over 30 years, the Fraser's Hill International Bird Race has gathered bird watchers and visitors in droves annually.
Yes, and following this outcry, the Raub District Office clarified that the construction of that 15-storey Fraser's Hill Resort and Spa was all above board, and that there was, quoting here, nothing unusual about the project, which received all of the necessary approvals early last year. However, the project was issued a stop work order in August following all of these concerns that were raised, and the developers were asked to revise the building design and to consult the Department of Environment on the technical aspects of the 15-storey project. That new plan, though, is still pending.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, that accident that happened on November 8th saw torrential rain causing muddy waters to gush down from the project site, and as we said, left the popular recreational site Allen's Water flooded. So to find out exactly what happened, we have on the line Persatuan Alam Dan Warisan Bukit Fraser's chairman, Nick Jasmine Hugh. Hi, Jasmine. Thanks for joining us today. So tell us what happened earlier this month to Allen's Water following those heavy downpours.
So I hate to say like we predicted it, but then we actually foresaw that this would happen because of the condition of the land itself. Because of the plot is higher than the lake, the water had to flow somewhere because the drainage had not been built and, you know, it's ongoing. So what happened was, I think monsoon just hit us, and therefore there was heavy rain. That was on the 9th of November. And when it rained really heavily, that was when it happened, you know, water started flowing from the site. The water basically rushed straight down, flowed straight into the lake area. It went on for quite a while, actually, and it flooded the area where you would usually go on the boat. And the water actually flowed into the lake itself. And, you know, there was a bit of a contamination.
Yeah, and we saw the videos and it looked pretty bad. Has this ever happened before in Fraser's?
See, the thing is, because it had happened before in Fraser's Hill, therefore we were concerned about this particular project. When it happened 25 years ago, when they were building a second golf course, actually, for Fraser's Hill, and they built that by the only waterfall that we have, which is Jeria Waterfall. And from Jeria Waterfall, there's a stream that passes through. So during the construction of that second golf course, this had happened, you know. And until today, 25 years later, the river, it has not improved. Not improved in the sense that it has not gotten back to what it was, you know. So the impact has lasted this long. So that's why this whole project concerned us. Just by looking at it, you know, the condition, that the fact that it's higher and the lake is lower, that really, really alarmed us even before this happened.
And has Allen's Water ever experienced this kind of flooding before? You know, it was almost like a muddy river of water flowing straight down and inundating them with water. Has this happened before?
No, this is the first time. This is completely the first time. It didn't only flow into Allen's Water. It flowed onto the drains outside of the site as well. So basically, the drains are covered in mud, or it's more sandy than anything, you know, the soil in Fraser's Hill. And I think the soil, I'm not sure whether they actually added more soil onto the site, but then the soil that's running out of the site is actually quite sandy and is in the drains. And, you know, it flowed straight into the lake area. Yeah. And then, you know, even when it didn't rain as hard, water was still flowing, muddy water was still flowing down. So it has created kind of like a permanent waterfall in a way every time it rains, even though it's not it's not as heavy as that time when it flooded. But even when it rained a bit, there's still a bit of water flowing down.
And did you alert the authorities about this? Did they come to investigate? Was there any follow-up since then?
So we did actually send in a report to everyone, you know, the Majlis, Jabatan Alam Sekitar, as well as the developer, as soon as we heard about it and we got the report for it. And Majlis actually, I think, did send people to have a look at it, but the result of that, I think after writing in to the developer, they said that they'll send someone to check. But whether someone actually did go and check, we weren't sure because nobody saw them going up. And up till Friday, because that's the last working day that we had somebody checking on it, there was still no improvements. Majlis came to have a look at it, but we are not sure what's the call of action. The only call of action that we heard from anyone was from the developer, who said that they will actually look into it. And then I think there's a report by DNST, I think, who got to speak to the Majlis. And I think perhaps the developer is actually working something out to sort this out, but we haven't seen it on the hill.
And speaking of the developer, a stop work order was issued by the Rauh District Office, which also ordered for the building's design to be revised. And that was where things stood the last time we spoke. So any updates on that front?
Okay, so the design was supposed to be handed in end of August, but there was an extension applied by the developer. And the new deadline, according to reports, is that it's end of this year, which means 31st December is the date that they will, the last date that they will hand in this design. But in terms of what it will, what will change according to the original plan, I mean, from before, even before the extension, when we spoke to the developer, they were adamant that it was only the aesthetics of the building and not the scale of the building. So for from our side, all we know is that it's still that same scale. And according to Jabatan Alam Sekitar, they have no objections because there is no law to say that they can't build something as high. But even though saying that, there is actually a report that was commissioned by the Department of Environment themselves that actually suggests there is a concern if something as tall as this is built. And this report was actually commissioned in 2008, so it's been a long time. And there's a suggestion in there that, you know, Fraser's Hill is a sensitive area and there are things that they can't do in terms of development. But according to the DOE, these are just guidelines, even though there's, you know, a report and like experts have done research on the place. These are only guidelines because they are not made law. So according to DOE, their hands are tied because it all comes down to the local decision makers, which is Majlis lah.
And have you engaged with the decision makers on this issue?
So we try all angles. You know, we write to everyone. We try to speak to every decision maker. We've actually met up with the MP many times. We've also met up with the ADUN, who is actually, because it's State Assembly week in Pahang this week, the ADUN, YB Chow, is actually highlighting or bringing up this matter at the State Assembly. So we are actually looking forward to that. So we'll see what happens.
And where do residents of Fraser's Hill stand on this issue?
Well, okay, the thing about this whole situation is that it has divided opinions even on Fraser's Hill. So there are some local residents who are in support of this project. Even after the water flowed and all that, there are views that say, you know, after 6 years, it'll all be cleaned up and then it'll be okay again. But the ones, you know, who are opposed to this development are very concerned because even now, this water that's been flowing has caused erosion in the land. And, you know, if it gets aggravated even more, there could be a small landslide. You know, so there are differing opinions, of course, just as anything. But yeah, but our concern is that it can happen. Soil erosion happens in Fraser's Hill all the time. You know, and if you're on the hill and you've been on the hill, you'll see every corner, there must be a bit of a trace of either a had been landslide or a future landslide because there's a bit of erosion somewhere, right? Yeah, so it is a huge concern.
So this campaign has been going on for a while now. And of course, you've had a petition going since the start. But how else are you going to try to keep this issue alive and in people's minds?
Yeah, I think we've been lucky with some press. They've been encouraging in the sense that they are reporting about it. So we have videos out, you know, the Star actually made a video on and report on the issue. And then, you know, you have NST who kept on writing. And, you know, I wrote in quite a few pieces into some articles to different platforms. But other than that, we are now working on an exhibition, you know, to actually highlight Fraser's Hill to more people, to tell people what Fraser's Hill is all about so that not anyone else will actually take Fraser's Hill wrongly or understand it wrongly. So we hope to actually share what Fraser's Hill is really about and the issue that it faces. And also at the same time, we like to collect, you know, some funding for our future projects to preserve Fraser's Hill. Because we even before this issue was going on, we had several projects that are now on hold that we like to move on with. So this exhibition is actually is actually like a contemporary art exhibition. And we were talking and we actually have a venue for it. It's just that we don't have an actual date per se because of this whole COVID situation. It was supposed to be early December, but because of the MCO, CMCO and everything, so the date has not been confirmed. But the venue is confirmed. We are working with Tumperak Co-op, which is on Jalan Tumperak. They are an exhibition space. They've actually exhibited a few artists prior to this. So yeah, that's actually one of the things that we're looking forward to. And we also have a documentary going on that that is on hold because we can't go up to the hill due to, again, the CMCO. So yeah, a lot of little things that we're working on to keep encouraging people to support and to create awareness about Fraser's Hill and the issue.
And how else can the public get involved in this campaign if they are interested?
Yeah, we encourage everybody to write to us because there are different things that we actually need people to volunteer for. We are still encouraging people to write to the authorities and decision makers so that they'll pay attention to the issue. We are bugging everybody in the sense that, you know, we like people to not miss knowing about this issue because it's that important. So the decision makers that we are targeting are, you know, people who are basically deciding for Fraser's Hill future in terms of tourism, in terms of administration. So if people like to write in to us, then we can share with them who best to write to and who best they can approach to speak to. Other than that, we also need volunteers to actually... Before this, we actually needed volunteers to be on the hill to advocate and to like speak to people who visited the hill. But now we're not doing that. So we are only advocating or like, you know, talking to people either online or sharing with family and friends again. The petition now is at, I think, 16,000 signatories. So, but we need a lot more than that, of course, you know. But it keeps going up. Every time there's a news reporting on the matter, it goes up. Every time there's something shocking happened, like last week when the water started flowing and then there was a video. Lisa Surihani actually, I think, Instagram about it. That was when, you know, the numbers went up again. But it just shows how important it is to always have it like in the radar so that people know what's going on and then they realize. Even after 4 months, you know, there are people who just found out about it. So that's why we got to keep going.
Thank you so much, Jasmine. That was Nick Jasmine Hugh, the chairperson of Persatuan Alam dan Warisan Bukit Fraser, or PAWBF as it's better known. And she was updating us on the proposed development up on Fraser's Hill and how some of the fears over this project are already materializing. And speaking of landslides, you know, just last week it was reported that a continuous downpour had triggered a landslide which struck the Banjaran Hot Springs Retreat in Tambun, and very sadly it killed two guests at the resort. It should be noted, though, that this was the first landslide incident at the resort and there are no development projects nearby. Now, police investigations are underway, but it was reported that the rains had weakened the residual soil which collapsed onto a part of the villa where the two victims had been staying in. But there are also fears that another landslide might occur should the downpour continue.
Yes, and landslides and soil erosion are major issues here in Malaysia, especially in Fraser's Hill. So in a report in Makaranga, a UKM geophysicist who studies soil mechanics in Fraser's Hill, Dr. Noor Shahida Mohammad Nazir, was quoted as saying that up to 22 shallow landslides have happened in Fraser's Hill since 2017. So she also said that rapid development would trigger large-scale slope movement if proper precautions are not taken. So hopefully everyone involved in this new development takes these concerns that are being raised seriously and considers everyone's safety before proceeding.
Yeah, and if you're concerned about this new project and would like to get involved in some way or another, you can head to facebook.com/PAWBF for more information on the issue.
Yep, so that's all the time we have for today's show. But if you want to share your thoughts with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify or Apple or Google Podcasts. That's it for the Daily Digest, but coming up at 3 p.m. I will be speaking to Suki Yi and Rachel Moraes about Soliloquy, which is a dance film that was made in collaboration during the pandemic with social distancing observed. So that's coming up on Front Row after the 3 p.m. news. That's it from the Daily Digest. Thank you for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.